This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online and I am live coming to you from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. And that would be at 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri. But please don't tell the NSA, the CIA, the Russian news agency. Just keep us out of any communication you have. Don't use code words on the phone like Pastor Mike Hoggard, Talk Joe Hell Hates, because, I mean, that triggers NSA recording, and they're, yeah. Anyway, good to be with you today. Good to be back from Norwood, Missouri. Pastor Reg Kelly and the wonderful people at Liberty Faith Bible Church. We had just some incredible services there. Full house Sunday morning. And just some good crowds Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. And it was just good to visit and fellowship with Brother Reg and some of the other people there at Liberty Faith that we have become acquainted with over the years. This is about, I'm going to say, probably the fourth or fifth time I've ministered at their church just over the years. Brother Reg is a good friend of mine. And he had mentioned in introducing me Sunday morning, he said, now, Mike and I don't agree on everything. Now, let me just say this. Any disagreement that he and I would have, most of the time, is about that big. It's not a big deal. And I mentioned to the church in ministering to them, I think it was, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it may have been Monday night. That God makes the members of the body unique. He makes us different. We do different things. We all, even in a church, local church congregation, there are going to be differences of opinions. People aren't going to see eye to eye on every little thing. They're not going to agree. Everybody comes from a different background, a different way of seeing things, a different understanding. But I use the same Bible they use. We here at Bethel all use the same Bible. Liberty Faith uses the same Bible. That's what makes us one in the beloved, in that there is a uniqueness to us, just like in my two hands, there is a uniqueness amongst each one of my fingers, the other parts of my body. They do a different function. They serve a different ministry or role in my body. And yet they are all the recipients of the exact same DNA. And so anyway, but Brother Reg and I, we just like to get together and talk and visit and fellowship. And he invited us over to his house Sunday after the service. And we had a wonderful meal over there and with his family, his daughter. And these people are incredible. Reg is not just a bunch of talk. He believes in certain issues, and they're very, very serious about these issues. Pastor Kelly's father was a Missouri congressman for years. Brother Ridge's brother, same thing. And now his daughter, Hannah, has just been, is it Hannah? Yeah, it's Hannah. Has just been elected to the Missouri State House of Representatives. As a conservative Republican, we congratulate her on winning the election. And Brother Reg told me it was a very, very hard fight at one point. They just thought there's no way in the world that we're going to win this thing. And what happened was Hillary Clinton. That's what happened. Okay? Hillary happened. And all of these in the state of Missouri, every county in the state of Missouri, except for where Kansas City is and where Jefferson City is, that's the capital, and where St. Louis is, and a couple other little minor cities, all of those counties in the state of Missouri went red. They voted Republican. And I'm not just talking about voting for the president. They voted for county sheriff, county lawmakers, dog catcher. Everybody went Republican. And so anyway, congratulations to Hannah Kelly. She is, I think he told me, she is the youngest member of the House of Representatives. And congratulations to her over that. I'm going to, I just was collecting stories today, things that some of you sent my way. And again, let me just remind you, the Pastor Mike online email address, it gets pretty busy. There's a lot of things that come in. Now, if I'm gone for a few days, one of the things that I don't have time to do is sit and go through emails. I can't do it. There's not enough time. With traveling and preaching and getting ready for preaching and so on. And so if you have sent emails to the PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com email address, that is right here. Follow my finger right here. Okay. Right down there, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. You can write into the program. I'm looking at the emails right here. And if you send something in, it catches my eye, you know, then I may take a look at it during the broadcast today. But if I don't read your email or I don't respond to your email, don't be offended by that. Please don't. And some have. Well, Pastor, I wrote you and I don't know why you won't respond. Please, people, don't do that to me. Okay. My obligation, my first obligation, my number one priority is the study and the presentation of God's word. That is my first greatest responsibility. I have an obligation and responsibility to give time to my wife, to my family, to my local congregation here. I would never in a million years say to anybody, well, you're on the bottom of the list. I don't want to treat people that way. But understand that we have several email addresses. I don't see all of the emails that come in. I don't read all of them. There's no way that I can. And I found this out several years ago. Because there was a time when I was taking in every email that came in to this ministry, and it was overwhelming. What it was doing, it was taking my time away from everything else, and it just wasn't meet for me to be able to do that. If you have sent in emails, especially PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com, and I have not read that, do not be offended. Send it again. If you wrote me and asked me a question, I did not respond. Do not be offended. Do it again. And be like the woman who wanted avengement for her adversary. She went to the unjust judge. And finally he said, lady, would you shut up? I'll go do what you said. Fine, get off my back. That's what the unjust judge said. Now, I've never said that to anybody, to my knowledge. But anyway, sometimes when I get really busy, be persistent about getting my attention on something, all right? And I appreciate those who write in and those who have patience. I appreciate those who say, Pastor, no comment is necessary. We just keep on doing what you're doing. I really appreciate that. You guys sent me some really good stuff today. This one caught my attention. Now, it's not really pertinent to, I think, the main theme of what we're going to deal with today. We're going to talk about mingled seed. And I caught on to something in the Bible today. I'm just going, okay, now it kind of clicks. It makes sense. You see, folks, I'm not done. I'm not done discovering. I'm not done reading. I'm not done studying. Let me tell you something. I'm waiting on an email from, let's see here. I won't say who it is until I get permission. They've been telling me something that's been going on at their church, and they've had a conversation with their pastor about something called Lectio Divina. No, that's not a rock star, okay? Lectio Divina is, well, I'll explain it in a minute. And so anyway, I'm just kind of waiting on someone to write me back and say, Pastor, talk about it, okay? But you guys have sent me some good things. I want to talk about mingled seed, something that caught my eye today from the Word of God. I'm not done getting things out of the Bible. And what I was going to say is there's several things that came in emails today and several things I've looked at, several things that I know about some pastors in this area and all over the place. I think they're bored with the Bible. I really do. I think that they are bored with the Bible, that they think that there's nothing in there that's relevant for today, and so let's walk away from it and let's go somewhere else and do something else. And I'm going to try to tie all that together. But this is a, I think it's a public, and I wish the list was longer. This is a public service article. Now, I'm warning everybody right now, I don't normally do this. I try to keep preaching, teaching, Watchman Broadcast, Pastor Mike Online, Pure Bible Study. I try to keep it as G-rated as possible. I'm not Perry Noble, the recovering alcoholic, who, and yeah, that's true. He got kicked out of his church because he was a drunk. But anyway, he bragged that his church services were for seventh grade on up, and anybody in the sixth grade down could not attend the adult church worship preaching service because he bragged that his services and his language was PG-13. That's just wicked. That's just bragging and boasting that you're going to talk dirty to everybody and you don't want the kids asking questions. Sounds a little lascivious to me. But anyway, let me just warn you right now. I'm going to say words and a couple of phrases that I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm not trying to be lascivious. Let me read the article headline so you get where I'm going. Parents advised to be on watch for their teens' texting codes. You know, like LOL, which means laugh out loud. Or OMG, which, oh my goodness, or other variants of that. Anyway, teenagers are using initialed codes to transfer dirty messages between them. Now, I want you to grasp this. I'm 50 years old. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. We didn't have cell phones in the 70s, in the early 80s, that allowed us communication as adolescent or teenage boys and girls to really get into lasciviousness. We didn't have that. We had a telephone in our house. If I had a girlfriend at school, we would talk on the telephone at night in our house. And that was it. In today's world, teenagers especially are at serious risk for putting themselves in bondage for the rest of their life. Because now, teenagers, and when I say teenagers, let's scoot it down to 11, 12, 13 years old. Maybe even 10. Boys and girls at that age now have the ability, writing messages between them, sending pictures between them. There are codes that they will use just in case mom and dad happen to get on the phone. Codes they will use. Laugh out loud. There are others. CBS's Dave Carlin reported teens often use abbreviations to hide the meaning of their conversations. And there are a lot of new ones you might not know about. Parents, be warned. Your child can, with their tablet, with their phone or computer access, be sending messages back and forth to people. And what they're doing is that they're wanting hookups. You know what that is? That's what they're wanting. I was 13. I was 14 at one time. I get it. I understand it. They want that because that's how they're reacting to the world at that age. It is parents' responsibility to shield them and guard them and guide them through that phase of their life. Because what they're doing is that they are picking up on actions and activities, and they are getting themselves into habits that once embedded in them almost never leave throughout the rest of their life, right? And it's easy. It's a whole lot easier for them now than it was for us then in our generation. Whole lot easier. Here's some of them. IWS is the initials. Two teens riding back and forth. One of them says IWS. What is that for? I want fornication. GYPO has to do with pants. Get your pants. GNOC. Get, figure out a word starts with N, on camera. The article's written about a lady by the name of Crystal Sims who did not know what any of those meant, but she guessed correctly. The initials CU46 means CU4, and it's a variant of the numbers or the word six. Okay, figure it out. Crystal said, "Oh, I would shut this down. They wouldn't even know what a phone was." And it can, the article says that it can be more than harmless letters and numbers on a screen. A study done in a Southern California school district found of the teenagers who had phones, one out of seven was texting. Shelby LaPierre, 17 years old, said, "I've seen things like that." But LaPierre says she stays away from such behavior, believing that her father, when he said, it never goes away, and they know that. CBS affiliate there showed him the list, and he responded, OMG. Okay. When the teenagers put a solitary number 9 up, that means parent watching. I guess the 9 is like a figure of someone standing there with their eye out. Guy LaPierre said, "I knew a couple of them, but not this many. Technology allows parents to make sure every text their child sends and receives gets sent to them too. And there are companies, including Bark, that are set up with algorithms to detect signs of sexting, bullying, and suicidal thoughts and send alerts to parents." Bark Chief Parent Officer Titania Jordan said, "You've got to stay a step ahead of what these kids are getting into so you can protect them. Let them know that you know." Experts say if talk to kids openly and in a non-judgmental tone about proper and safe texting, they may react badly in the moment, but thank you one day. For a few more of these codes used by teens, PIR means parent in room. POS means parent over shoulder. And I don't have a complete list here. I would encourage you, if you have young people in your home that are part of your family, I would go on the internet and I would find out what their codes are. They know them. Find out what those codes are. Do not, this is hard to do in today's world, do not let your child have unrestricted private access to the internet, to other young people. Don't do that. There was a time, listen to me, young people, there was a time when mom and dad did not let their daughter Judy go out of the door except daughter Judy had a chaperone with her at all times. Why? That was to preserve her integrity. It was to preserve her purity. It was to preserve her reputation. It was to preserve her future. We have forgotten as a culture in America that the joining of a man and a woman is restricted to marriage only. We have forgotten that. The hippie generation of the 60s, the free love of the 70s, the revolution that took place. Now these hippies are grandparents. Their children were raised in a liberal household, and now their children are having children and raising them in a liberal environment. Well, I'm going to let Johnny just explore what he wants in life, and I'm going to put daughter Judy on the pill, and that will keep her from getting pregnant, and that really is all we need to do. If they want to do this, I'm all for it. Let them do it. Let them explore these things. You are destroying them, people. You are destroying them. Much, not in the least, to say that it's wrong. It's called fornication. It's forbidden in Scripture. And any time somebody brings this up, oh, you and your puritanical morality, oh, you need to go back, you know, whatever. Don't let people bully you, people. Stand up for what's right. Don't, and especially, listen to me, family members. Family members, your brothers and sisters and your aunts and uncles or whoever, they'll come out of their skin if they hear you talk about abstinence and trying to keep your daughter or your son pure. And I have seen in families where an aunt, an uncle, a cousin or whatever, working behind the scenes to get little Johnny and little Judy some little off-the-scene hookup with somebody outside of their parents' control. I've seen it. What a sad, disgusting world we live in. Parents, protect your children. They are going to grow up hooked on habits that they do not have the power to break. Protect them. Keep them from these things. Speaking of fornication, I'm going to say something that, I don't know, it may make you mad. Might make somebody mad, I don't know. But I'm going to say something, and it's not popular nowadays, but there are, in some cases, I like the way the country's going. I didn't say we were home free. I didn't say we won the war. America is our. I didn't say that. I don't believe that. But in some cases, I like where America is going. Here is Ohio. Ohio lawmakers approved a bill that would ban abortions after a fetus heart first beats. And Governor John Kasich has yet to sign the bill. You pray for him that he'll sign it. Donald Trump's election and a presumption that he'll appoint conservative Supreme Court justices spurred Ohio Republicans to pass what would effectively be the nation's strictest time-based abortion law. Ohio lawmakers on Tuesday passed a controversial heartbeat bill that would ban abortions in that state from the moment the heartbeat of a fetus can be detected. Woo! Which usually occurs about 6 weeks into pregnancy. What happens next for the bill, which would prohibit such abortions, even in cases of rape or incest? Here we go. Depends on Republican Governor John Kasich, who has 10 days to decide whether to veto the legislation. State legislators had considered the bill in previous years, but it never passed the Senate. So what made the legislature's Republican majority move now? One, a new president, new Supreme Court justice appointees changed the dynamic, and that there has a consensus in our caucus to move forward. Ohio State President or Senate President Keith Faber, a Republican from Salina, told reporters after the final vote. Asked if he thought the bill would survive a legal challenge, he said, I think it has a better chance than it did before. It's called the heartbeat bill. Now, yes, but what about in the case of rape or incest? I actually had a man in our church. Union Democrat. Well, they're for the working man. They're for the working man. They're going to get us jobs and they're going to get us high wages. And we got to have these Democrats in office now. We're going to lose our job. You lost your job anyway. He did. He lost his job. How? He used to work at the Chrysler plant in Fenton, Missouri. There is no Chrysler plant in Fenton, Missouri now. There isn't one anywhere that I know of in this area. None. Went to Mexico. Why? Unions got him higher wages. And Chrysler said, we can't sell cars for what these people want to be paid. We can't do it. We just can't. We don't have the money. We're losing money every. We can't do it. But he actually said, "Well, you know, I'm against abortion. Now, in the case of rape or incest, you know, that's a different story. Now, I mean, that just, you know, that's in fact, that's the people I vote on. That's what they're for too. No, that's what they told you. They lied to their teeth. They haven't done anything about it." You put in Ohio or the state of Missouri, anywhere, you put an all-Democratic legislature in with a Democratic governor, and I promise you there's not going to be one bill come up that limits people's access to abortion. Never happened and never will. What about in the case of rape or incest? Well, let me ask a question. If you believe that that child inside of a mother's womb, let's just follow the Ohio law for a minute. Not, don't get me wrong, I'm not changing my view. Life begins at conception. God said so. God said so. God knew who John the Baptist was. Jeremiah was. John the Baptist was even full of the Holy Ghost while he was still in the womb, and he leapt inside of Elizabeth's womb when he heard that Jesus was coming. He jumped for joy in there. He was alive, full of the Holy Ghost, even before he was born. Yeah, well, no, that rape or incest, I mean, that's a whole different deal whatsoever. Well, here's the question. If you believe that that child is alive, why should that child be executed for a crime that they did not commit? Why should they? Oh, my daughter was raped. She went out with her boyfriend and she come home and 2 weeks later, she found out she was pregnant, and then she told me she was raped. Really? Now, listen, I'm not saying that rape doesn't take place. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. Don't write me emails going, Hoggard, I can't believe you said that. It does. Rape happens. Incest happens. But to kill the baby because of what somebody else did wrong is not a viable, right choice to make. You're killing the innocent victim, not the person who committed the crime. No law in the scripture allows for a child to be killed because the dad did something wrong. Nowhere. And I'm as adamant on that as I am anything. And you don't like that, and I cannot help it that you don't like that. I can't change and alter what I say because you don't like it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I came back and was scouting through emails this morning, and there's a list of people who are fed up with Mike Hoggard. And you called my daughter. One guy said that in the Arrival series that I was doing, that because I mentioned the lady character in the movie had red hair. And I have seen it in several movies. The woman who God has his arm around in the Sistine Chapel has red hair. And so this man said, well, my daughter has red hair, and I'm offended that you called her a whore. And I went, I didn't. I never said that. But I went back through the emails. He criticizes just about everything that I do. I can't I can't poll everybody, find out what would make you happy, and then say what would make you happy. I can't. Rick Warren does that. I can't do that. I'm not allowed to. Now, if you misunderstand something I say, that's one thing. But if you don't like something that that came out of my mouth, and I can say, well, right here, the scripture says it exactly the way I said it, I can't help it. I can't make you happy by saying things that you like. And I've had people with money try to influence me with their money. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can't let you or you or you yank my chain. Now, if I'm wrong about something, tell God. Tell God. God will either correct me or God will leave me alone because what I said wasn't wrong. But I can't just go and find out what makes everybody happy and then say it. I can't do it. I'll never keep ahead. And in making you happy, I'm going to make somebody mad. And if you know me and you know my personality, I don't like people not liking me. I don't. It bothers me, but I can't help it. I told Brother Reg, I said, you're the reason why I do what I do. The man taught me that some things have to be said. I'm the guy that has to say them. And Mike, people are going to hate your guts for it. And I had to learn how to deal with that. I had to learn to live with that. And if I can live with what I said, because I know that's what the Word of God says, you can live with it too. I'm going to make somebody else mad here. Somebody sent me an email from Joseph Prince Ministries. Joseph Prince, big, tall, handsome Japanese drink of water. Got him a big mega church. I suspected him for a long time of kind of being, not right. Now that I have this email, I'm pretty much convinced of it. You see, I don't judge people because, well, you know, if you look at his hair, now his hair, those in the Illuminati have hair just like him. I mean, if you know that or not, but people in the Illuminati, they have hair just like Joseph. Joseph Prince wears his hair to show that he's in the Illuminati. I don't do that stuff. I don't care where he lives. I don't care what food he's got in the refrigerator. None of that stuff. I don't care. It's what comes out of his mouth. If he says, this is what I believe, and I can say that is wrong according to scripture. That's what I care about. It's not who he is, where he came from, what nationality he is, what race he is. Doesn't matter to me. If it came out of his mouth, and I can look at it and say, that is a contradiction to the Word of God, That's my job. That's what I have to. This is my day job. I'm doing it today. The email says, speak in alignment with God's promises. And he says, I have a life-altering revelation from God's word to share with you. But let me start by asking you a simple question. How often do you say, I sure love my life. It's so good to be alive. How often do you say that? All the time? Or seldom, if ever. It's possible you were raised or even taught that you are not supposed to enjoy life, but rather sacrifice and even suffering are the true signs that your life had meaning. I want to challenge that belief today and say to you, the Christian life was never intended to be a life of pain, poverty, and suffering. Now he puts John 10:10 in here. John 10:10. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you're listening to me right now, live, Thursday, it is 12:37 p.m. Central. Send me an email on why. I'm going to read this statement again. If you've, it's possible you were raised or even taught that you're not supposed to enjoy life, but rather sacrifice, even suffering, are the true signs that your life had meaning. I want to challenge that belief today and say to you, the Christian life was never intended to be a life of pain, poverty, and suffering. So here's what, here's my challenge to you. Send me a Bible verse, any email, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. Send it to me. And let's just see whether or not what he said is true, not according to me, not according to you, but according to the Word of God. Now, he mentioned John 10, verse 10. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 10, and we'll read verse 10. What does it say? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Let's see now if what Jesus said matches what Joe Prince said. Joe Prince said, the Christian life was never intended to be a life of pain, poverty, and suffering. And he said, see John 10:10. John 10:10 does not ever mention anything about the Christian life of us having pain, poverty, and suffering. This class of preacher, now I want you to understand this. These guys are always going to get brand new revelations from God. The ultimate goal in this is not to bless you. The goal here of this, in fact, I'll show you this. The goal here is to get you to give them your credit card number. That's the goal. In fact, let me read the rest of this email. You'll see how this all, he's going, I think God wants you to have a tremendous good life and not have any pain, suffering, or sorrow. I think that's what God wants. Okay, let's keep reading the email. See where it goes. God wants you to live a good life filled with good days. He says it is his good plan for you to live in health, provision, increase, favor, peace, and joy. These are all yours in Christ Jesus. But here is the key. Ah, there's a key. You mean I can't just get it from God, right? I can't just say, God, I would like to have peace today. There's a key here. I can't just say, God, give this to me. I can't do that. Get ready. My daughter makes the best iced tea in the world. He said, here's the key. If you really want to experience all that the Lord Jesus died to provide you, it is important that you learn. Here we go. That you learn to speak in alignment with God's provisions. Now, let me tell you what that is. Learning to speak in alignment with God's provision is Wicca, witchcraft. They're saying now you must speak positive. Let's read it. He said, simply stated, the words you speak have a direct effect on the life that you are going to live. Now, according to this word faith argument, if I say the words, I think I will probably die in 3 minutes from now. According to them, I'm fixing to get it because I spoke that. That's what they're saying. This, folks, I did something here a few weeks ago on the Law of Attraction, The Secret, Rhonda Burns. This is nothing more than that. It is witchcraft. It is Wicca. It is the idea that you must, in order to get anything from God, you must say the right words with God. Because God doesn't understand anything other than you speaking very, very specific, positive things with him. Kurt. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. I like it. If you send me, if you're going to send me the verses, send me the verse so I can read it. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 4:12, this is Ken. Beloved, think it not a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In fact, read the whole book of 1 Peter. For them to say that, God didn't want you to have suffering. God doesn't want that. And if you have suffering, you're just violating God is what you're doing. Joe Prince says, does God want you to love life and see good days? Yes, absolutely. How? By refraining from speaking evil and speaking God's promises instead. Your tongue and the words you speak has the power to set the direction of your life for good or for harm. With your tongue, you can bless or curse. When you talk negatively about someone or something, it is equivalent to a curse. However, when you speak positive, faith-filled, and powerful, encouraging words, you are declaring blessing. Folks, this is the same thing as the law of attraction, witchcraft. It is precisely the same. There is no difference here. The fact that you don't get any, you didn't get the check for $1 million last week, according to them, is not because God didn't want you to have it. It's because you didn't say the right words with the right faith in your brain, and you didn't have positive confessions, or you said it, but then you followed it up with negative confessions, and that canceled out the positive confessions. Folks, it's a bunch of hooey. It's witchcraft is what it is. They're mingling their own wicked doctrines of devils in with the Word of God. That's what mingled seed is. You are not to sow your vineyard with diverse seeds, which means that from our pulpits, we should be getting the Word of God. In our daily life, we should be receiving the Word of God by reading it. Meditating on it. Think on these things. Giving heed to what the Bible says. But then you go out and you listen to these people like Joe Prince, Joyce Myers, Benny the Hindu, all of these other clowns. You listen to these people, and what they're doing is that they are mingling things in with what you read from the Word of God, making you think that what they say is true. You know what's really funny to me? In this email, he makes the statement, Christ never intended you to have a life of pain, poverty, or suffering. See John 10:10. Why is it that in the email, he's all about giving his words in here in print, but when it came to the Word of God, well, you have to read that on your own. If the Bible's so full of these positive confessions, why wouldn't he print them? Therefore, when you speak out God's promises over your life, change occurs. The power of life and death, blessing and cursing is in the words you speak. So be bold enough to, quote, speak life and health to your body. Speak promotion into your career. Speak favor and protection over your children. Speak increase to your finances. And folks, you've heard these people. They're easy to spot. They make long prayers. Because they've been told that they have to speak blessing over every named thing. And if they left something out, well, obviously God's not going to bless that. And they will. They will pray for, they'll pray for over a meal for 15 minutes. God, please bless these eggs. Bless the ones that have been turned over easy. Bless the ones that are scrambled. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this bacon. Bless the ham. Father, we pray, dear God, that no disease, no sickness would be inside of this ham. We also pray, God, that all spirits of bad bacteria and spoilage would be cast out of this ham in Jesus' name. We also profess and proclaim that we believe this ham in Jesus' name will go into our bodies. We believe that we ask that you bless our teeth as it chews it up. We ask that you bless our throat as we swallow it. We ask that you bless our intestines as it moves through. You hear them pray stuff like that because they've been told that they have to positively confess every little thing, and if they leave anything out, well, you're cursed now, Jack. He says, if you'll speak words of faith over your body, your pain, your problems, your concerns, whatever it is, you are lining up with God's word and positioning yourself to receive every good gift he has for you. It's a lie, people. It's a lie. It's not true. This guy, Joe Smith, is teaching, or no, Joe Smith, Joe Prince, Prince Joe. He's teaching you witchcraft. Now, here we go. Why is he sending this email out? Does he care? Because he cares about everybody? Why is he sending this out? My brand new teaching series. There we go. Faith Speaks. Unlocking God's power through your words will lead you into this amazing truth. Here's what I want you to do. If you think that I'm just being mean about Prince Joe, you find me places in the Bible where God has power locked up. Find me places in the Bible where God has all of these wonderful things for us, but he can't give them to us because we didn't say things right. Show me those. You just think I'm being mean. You just think, well, he's more popular than you. You're just trying to bring you down because you can lift yourself up. Listen, I don't care. How many people watch me on YouTube and the internet is not, it's not my responsibility. What I'm telling you is this man is teaching you witchcraft, and this man is making statements that are not biblical. What this man is telling you is that you must deserve everything that you get from God, or if you don't, you won't get it. And that's not true. Well, you guys send a lot of verses here. Print them out for me, please. Matthew 24, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many. Don't send me verses that are not King James. Okay? Don't send me verses that are not King James. I won't read them. And I'm 99% sure that what I just read was not the voice of my shepherd. Because I know his voice. I know what it sounds like. Matthew 24:8. Let me find it. All these. Let's see here. Yeah. Not you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be afflicted. Not many will be offended. One will betray another. It's not what it says. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, not lawlessness, iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold, not grow cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Please, I'm not trying to be mean. Don't send me anything other than a King James Bible to read. Don't do it. Go to purebiblesearch.com, download a free copy of the Pure Bible Search software, find the verse you're looking for, copy and paste it into your email, send it to me. Now I'm suspect on every verse. No, I'm not reading your emails. I love you, but I'm not reading your emails. Keith says, when God himself was on the cross, according to TBN, God didn't know how to speak to the Father, for he died. Also, 12 to 14 apostles were murdered. I guess they didn't know how to speak positively to save themselves. Keith, if you have a quote on that, and I'm not doubting you, but if you have a quote on that, I'd like to see it. Because, I mean, I believe what you're saying. I just would like a quote on it, all right? John 15:20. This is from John, not the John that wrote John 15:20. Another John. John is quoting John. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept me, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Good stuff here. Let me continue. But anyway, the deal is, he's got an offer to make you. If you haven't requested my book, The Prayer of Protection, Living Fearlessly in Dangerous Times, and its study guide, we are making both these books available this month in several of the collections. Thank you for your generosity and for continuing to support this ministry. Remember, God wants you to live a good life filled with good days. Take hold of his promises through the words you speak and see his goodness manifest in your life. And the email, I mean, wow, man, I ought to start doing this. Oh, looky here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. He's got a Declare and Reign gift collection. You get the Faith Speaks, Unlocking God's Power Through Your Word, CD, DVD, Prayer Card Resource, bonus gift. You get the 2017 Prayer Protection Wall Calendar. You get the Prayer of Protection hardback book, Prayer of Protection study guide softback book, Your Miracle is in Your Mouth softback books. You know what that is, people? That's Wicca. It is spellcasting. That's what positive confessions are. It's spellcasting. It says that you get nothing from God if you don't say positive words and align. You got to align now your words. You got to line up now with these so-called promises that are in the Bible. You get the Why Jesus is the Answer, Receive Breakthroughs as You See Christ Revealed in the Word 5 DVD album, bonus resource, Speak God's Language of Faith. I bet I know what that is. Special Joseph Prince Grace 101 Multimedia Collection. All of these can be yours for your gift of $550 or more. Now, I want you to grasp this. I want you to grasp it. This guy, Joe Prince, handsome little devil, isn't he? Is telling you that what he's got for you is so vital and so key and so life-altering and so important, but you can't have it unless you pay me to get it. You can't have it unless you pay me. So ask yourself the question. Pardon me. I should have a mute button. I think I do. Hang on a second. Do I have a mute button? No, I don't think so. I could have done this. See, I could have done that, couldn't I have? Ask yourself the question. Of the two spirits that we know about from our Bible, the Holy Spirit and Babylon, Mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Of those two spirits, which one would charge you money to give you what you ask for? Which one? You see it? If what he's saying is so absolutely crucial to your life, and if he really, really was interested in you and your soul and whatever breakthrough that you needed, if he was really concerned about that, why the money? Why the price? What spirit is it that charges money for something that God wants you to have? What spirit is that? And I'm just telling you, it's nothing but pure Wicca witchcraft, the law of attraction. If you speak the aligned words, the correct words, and you've got to have a positive mental, emotional state, because of any negative, it's kind of like in the movie Ghostbusters when they say, now empty your minds and don't think of anything, because whatever you think of is going to become reality. And all of a sudden the guy thinks of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and there he is destroying the city. Marshmallow Man. That's that same kind of nonsense. That if any negative thought or any negative idea enters your mind, automatically it cancels out anything that God had the check in the mailbox until he detected that you said a negative word, and then he took it right back away from you, and you get nothing. That kind of stuff, it angers me to no end. It does. If I've been set on this earth to do anything, number one, it's to love my sweetie pie until the day we part in death. Number two, it's to preach this gospel. By the way, don't say, well, you put Lisa first. I don't. And everybody that knows me knows that. But I'm just saying to you, I'm here to love my wife, and I'm here to tell you what God said. And what God said bears almost no resemblance to what Prince Joe just told you. Well, he didn't tell you everything, because there's still stuff that you got to get for $550. Anyway, where am I going now? Abortion bill did that. Let me read. What happened to all my papers here? I still got stuff to tell you. I got an email. I saw it come in, so I'm going to read the story. I'm going to read what's going on in this church. Let me see. Let me pull the email up here very quickly to make sure I read it correctly. Yes, you may. Thanks. I said, hi, I have read this email exchange. What exactly took place at this church? And then I asked him if I could read it online. Now, I'm not going to use names. But here's what happened. He said, we began going to this Baptist church in the summer. My wife was particularly engaged in the morning service and sermons. It starts out sounding good, doesn't it? However, we went to the pastor's life group in early October. The pastor didn't open with prayer, but he gave us an introduction of how this group was supposed to be one of confidentiality. Shh. Don't tell anybody what we're doing. Shh. Then he began to introduce the ancient tradition of Lectio Divina, candle and all. Now, let me explain to you what Lectio Divina is. Let me tell you what that is. Lectio Divina is contemplative prayer. It is guided imagery meditation. It is whispering prayer, the Jesus prayer. Lectio Divina actually involves Bible verses. But you don't read the Bible verses in order to understand the meaning of the verse. In fact, you're told that if you think about the verse that you're reading and try to discern the meaning, you're just like killing the whole thing. You're ruining the whole thing. You're not doing it right. What they want you to do is to take a portion of the verse and repeat it over and over and over again without any pondering of what it could mean. Don't think about the lesson being learned. In fact, empty your mind. And in that, it's absolutely no different than yoga class, where they give you a mantra to recite and you recite it over and over and over again. Now, the point of Lectio Divina, once you have the scripture and you're going to read it over and over and over out loud in sort of a silent way, God gave his one and only son. God gave his one and only son. God gave us. See, I'm not even using King James here. I'm just telling you that's what they do. And then it's repeated over and over and over and over and over and over. It is exactly what Jesus told us not to do. He said, don't do what the heathen do. Don't go into and use vain repetitions. For the heathen believe that they will be heard for their much speaking. That's what Lectio Divina is. It is a form of contemplative prayer. What is contemplative prayer? It is a type of guided meditation. It does not come from the Bible. It does not come from the early Christians. It does not. You'll not see the prophets nor any of the apostles doing this. You will not find the early church in the book of Acts or anywhere else. It's not mentioned anywhere in your Bible. Nowhere. There is nothing in the Bible that says take a portion of Scripture, read it over and over and over and over and over again. Once you do that, then you're going to go into a sort of a guided state of meditation. Your mind will be emptied of every logical thought. It will be silenced. And once you are in that silence, you will then hear the voice of God in the silence. And I've seen a lot. Some of this stuff you can find out on Lighthouse Trails Research. Roger Oakland, who I had the blessing of being in the Fargo Prophecy Conference a couple years ago. Great guy. Love him. Doing some good work there. And Roger Oakland has done a tremendous amount of research into the issue of contemplative prayer, Lectio Divina, Ignatian contemplation, the whisper prayer, the Jesus prayers, Marian contemplation, and it comes from the Catholic Church. But it's Eastern mysticism at its core that says you empty your mind, you get into this void, this empty space of total nothing, which is the void. Once you get in there, you're going to hear or you're going to intuit a voice on the inside of you. And that is, quote unquote, God speaking to you. And now you are open to whatever God tells you to do. Friends, that is a familiar spirit. It is not God. If you want to know what God's got to say to you, get your King James Bible out and start reading that thing. But this nonsense that there is some other, we're having some other way of getting God into us or hearing from God. That's what Lectio Divina is all about. Candle and everything. In other words, they darkened the room. I'm assuming. You sent me this email. I'm assuming they darkened the room and lit these little candles to create a dark space with just a hint of light. In this totally, nearly darkened room, very quiet room, nobody is sitting at their desk going, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood. Nobody's in there doing that. And if you did that, they would say, shh, you're ruining the meditation. So anyway, Lectio Divina, and he said, I've been blessed to listen to your broadcast for the past couple of years. When I heard that, it triggered me. Actually, I have a, where's my, there we go. He said, I quickly confirmed Lectio Divina was actually contemplative prayer, so I gathered my family and left. And I'm just going to say, kudos to you. Congratulations. Because that pastor, you got it. I want you to just think about what I'm saying there. I'm telling it like it is. That pastor is not receiving his messages, his inspiration, his guidance from the Holy Spirit. He's not. He's receiving ideas, thoughts, philosophies, and leading from a familiar spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does not speak in silence. The Holy Spirit will say, read your Bible. You want to hear what God says? Look over there and read the Gospel of John. If you want to know what God said, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll get a lot of what God said. Then go read Paul. Then read the book of Revelation. Read the book of Exodus. You want to know what God said? Read the book of Psalms, Ecclesiastes. Read Isaiah. That's what God said. Not this other stuff. That man, you did the right thing. That man is being led by a familiar spirit. Paul warned us. Let me pull that up here because I had this in my mind earlier. I believe it was his warning to Timotheus. Let me see here. Is it there? No, is it there? It is. Where is it? Right there. Yeah, know this also. In the last days, perilous times shall come. That's not what I'm looking for. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Where is it? Let's see. Type it in here. There we go. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, you want to hear from the Holy Spirit? Read 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit is going to speak expressly to you. Expressly has the word press in it, which means the Holy Ghost is going to really press this on you, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Where is the faith? It's in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, giving heed to seducing spirits and to doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Because you know what this guy did? This guy sent this pastor scripture on why he believed Lectio Divina was wrong. And you know what it did to the pastor? It just went poof. He had his superpowers on that day, and he said, ha, your powers are useless against me. And it didn't work. He said, I told him because of the Lectio Divina. He said, pastor contacted me and find out why we left. He said, because of Lectio Divina. I asked him if he did this often or been practicing long. He said he did privately. I asked him for 2 to 3 scriptures to support it and to see if there were 2 to 3 scriptures that might be against it. He gave a couple partial quotes, but no addresses, but told me that there were a lot of scriptures that tell us to read the Bible slowly. So what? So what? Reading the Bible slowly, big deal. But we are expressly told, word for word, in the Bible, not to use vain repetitions. Anyway, none of his partial references came close. In fact, when we finally met, I told him why those verses had nothing to do with reading slowly. I also could not find any verses about reading Scripture fast or slow. I did, however, share about 100 passages of Scripture with correct doctrine about studying Scriptures, being full of God's Spirit, warning those who teach false doctrine, and how Lectio Divina is referred to as divination in the Bible. He could not refute any of it. I did present this in love. He also had no scriptural support. After 2 weeks, he finally responded that in his heart, he believed that he was doing right. Again, no scripture. And I want you to pray. This is a whole family now that has gone through this. They found what they thought would be a decent church to go to, only to find out then that the pastor's being led by the devil. Familiar spirits, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Because the whole thing is that once you get into that altered state and you're hearing this voice, you are supposed to act on that voice. You're supposed to. Mark Verkler often appears on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, telling everybody this is how you hear from God. You get alone, you go into the altered state of consciousness, you remove everything out of your mind, you're going to hear this voice. He even tells people, write it down. Write down everything the voice told you to do. That's God's word for you that day. That, my friend, is mingled seed. It is taking the imaginations of your own wicked heart accepting it as God's word and then thus adding it to the Bible. Lady told me just recently why she left her church. She said, first of all, Sunday night and Wednesday night, we were not getting scripture anymore. He was not presenting the word of God to us. He was not preaching out of the Bible. He had gotten some books at the bookstore and was reading those books. And on Sunday night and Wednesday night was teaching out of, he said, now, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, I'd like to show you this new book I got. And on page 40, there's a little outline here. And we're going to talk about what Dr. So-and-so said on page 40 in his outline. And she said, that's what they're doing Sunday night and Wednesday night. And then she said that she was approached by some people that also left the church because they found him leaving comments to Hooters gals on Facebook. Had a printout of it. Went to the deacons with the pastor and said, here's what you're doing on Facebook. Well, now, we're not going to start no fight over this thing now. That, you know, his wife knows all this is going on. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, a lot of guys do that. A lot of preachers are doing that now. And that's what they got. And what I'm seeing and what you're seeing preachers getting bored with the Bible. It bores them. There's nothing in it for them. Turn to Revelation 5. I'm going to show you what's happening. There's lots of places we could go here. Catherine, I love you. Okay? I love you. It's no big deal. I'm reading Catherine's email. I'm not going to tell you anything. Okay? I love you. God bless you. King James Pure Bible Search software. If you can't download it, we'll send you a copy of it. All right? Anyway, they're bored with the Bible. They don't. It's like, I read it. I just don't get anything out of it, especially the King James. I don't read the King James. I never got anything out of the King James. So they got the new translations, and they've been reading through it. But it's so full of Rice Krispies and sugar pops and everything. There's no substance in it as far as they're concerned. And so they got bored with it. Meanwhile, the publishing companies, oh, they've got some really good books they're coming out with every month. And these pastors, instead of studying the Bible, they're studying books. And they're getting their ideas from books. They're getting them from the publishing companies. They're getting them from God knows where. Who knows these people that writes these books? But that's where they're getting their stuff from. They're not getting it from the Word of God anymore because it's boring to them. And I'll show you what happened. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, I want you to ponder this for a minute. And I used this last weekend at Brother Kelly's church, and it was received very well. The seven horns on the lamb are a representation of the seven spirits of God. They are horns because horns represent power and authority. Horns represent Get off my land. Okay? When a buck deer, my deer, did I tell you I killed a huge deer? I mean, this thing was like massive. 9-point buck. Matthew, my son, killed a little four-pointer, and one of his horns was broken completely off, I thought. Yeah, Matthew's deer must have run into my deer. And if you don't know why deer have horns, or antlers, as was corrected one time, they're horns. The reason why they have them is to keep other buck deer off of their territory. Whichever deer's got the strongest horns, the strongest antlers, he runs everybody off of his territory so he can have all the does in that area. See, it's all about force. And God said his word has force to it. The seven spirits, the seven horns of the lamb. If the lamb decides to move in someplace, it's his. Because he's got the horns. Samson. Samson's seven locks of hair are a foreshadowing, a type, a picture of the seven horns that are on the lamb, and they represent the seven spirits of God. Now ask the question, what happened with Samson? Delilah happened. That's what happened. And after Samson told her the strength of his power, now you listen to me. In fact, let's go to Judges 16. Judges chapter 16. After Delilah pressed Samson, you know, Samson, he was a big old hulk of a man, right? Strong man, killed all the Philistines, kill them dead. Take the jawbone of an ass and kill. How many of them did he kill? Strong man. Okay? Tore a lion in half with his bare hands. Right? There wasn't a man in the world that could beat Samson. Much less 400 men couldn't beat Samson. But a woman could. Right? Guys, you listening? There ain't a man in the world you're scared of. But you know a woman can get you. There he was, had his head in Mystery Babylon Delilah's lap. She was paid well for her services to the Philistines, and when he was sound asleep, she called for the guy to come out, and he took a razor and cut off the seven spirits of God out of Samson's life. And now he has no power to stand against his enemies. Do you know what's happened? The guy that sent me the email, I keep wanting to call you by name, and I'm not going to give your name. I'm just going to call you Charlie. Charlie, do you know what happened to this pastor? You know what happened to him? He had his head in Delilah's lap. That's what happened. And the Philistines came and shaved off the seven locks of power out of that man's life. And now he has no power to stand against his enemies. People, I'm going to say something, okay? And I want you to ponder what I've said. I want you to think about it. These guys with these churches, where it is obvious Delilah has shaved off the seven locks out of their life, the power of God is out of their life. This is why they turn to contemplative prayer and Lectio Divina and all of this other stuff. Devil never puts his eggs all in one basket. There's so many false systems now in these churches. Everybody's got their own thing, all right? Do not be shocked, people. Do not be surprised. And it may be years down the road before you actually hear about it, but do not be surprised that these same men were caught up in, name it, drugs, drunkards, Perry Noble, little foul mouth, little pipsqueak preacher, having rock and roll bands playing Highway to Hell and Hell Ain't No Bad Place to Be, using PG-13 ratings for his sermons on Sunday morning, won't let sixth graders and below come to church service. They have to be shuttled off to another building where they can have little balloons and clowns for church because he's going to talk dirty and use dirty language. And the whole time, and he boasts against everybody else who would criticize him. The whole time he's doing this, he's drinking whatever he's drinking, whiskey, scotch, vodka, whatever. He's a drunkard. And in rehab right now. Don't be surprised when you find out years later that these guys were having affairs. Messing with little boys. Don't be surprised. Because the truth of it is, they don't have any power to stand against their enemies. None. You know why? The power that they would have had was in a Bible that they rejected. And now they don't have it. Judges chapter 16, you look at it. Let's see here. Look at verse 5 of chapter 16. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, I'm looking at that scripture. We will give you, every one of us. There's five lords of the Philistines, 5,500 pieces of silver. And she's pretty high class call girl, isn't she? But that's who she is. She got paid well to do this. And the truth of it is, these pastors are getting bored with the Bible and they don't want it anymore. And so they start bringing other stuff in. They start mingling things in to the Word of God. And I want you to ponder this. There's commercials now. Ancestry.com has a feature. Google has one now called 23andMe, where they send you a kit. You swab your mouth, put it in a little test tube, mail it back to them, and they're going to send you a computer readout of where your genealogy came from. And the advertisements sort of go like this. Oh, my husband. Yeah, you know, Tony Del Vecchio here. My husband was saying that he's all pure blood Italian. Well, we did a little DNA on him and come to find out, he's got some German in him and a little Eastern European. He's got a little Russian in him. He's got a little this, got a little that. He ain't all Italian like he says he is. And people find out that they're not necessarily who they thought they were. They're not pure-blooded Italian. They're not pure-blooded Swiss or pure-blooded. They've got stuff in them, right? Now, I want you to think about the things that God said. The things that God said about the purity of his word. I was trying to glance at some emails. Let's see here. One person says, recently stopped going to my church. A pastor preaches a salvation message practically every sermon. Very few new people come, but I just didn't feel like I, or for that matter, everyone was growing. Tried to seek the Lord in scripture, but had been frustrated. They are going to church online now. Was I wrong? I can't tell you that. I don't know this whole situation, okay? So I can't tell you whether you were right or wrong or not. Amen. But anyway, they've gotten bored with the Word of God, and they started mingling things in with it. And I was just kind of reading through the Bible, doing a study of the word seed. And it's very interesting because, let me get to, where was it? God told the Israelites about, let's see, not that one. Yeah, here we go. Leviticus 19:19. God said, "You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind." Now, take that word kind. That's a Bible term for like a species. And if you look in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, let's go there. We can find it very easy. Type in the word kind, and you have in Genesis 1:11, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So when the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." In verse 21, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And in verse 24, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." And that's what you see over and over, is that they are separated and segregated out according to their kind, whether it's birds or whether it's a four-footed beast or whether it's little creeping things, little crawly little worms on the ground or whatever it is. Every species has its own specifics, its own kind. And so God told them, do not allow your cattle to gender with a diverse kind. Don't mix. And just think about it. Can a bovine cow mate with a goat? Answer's no. Well, let me put it like this. Can a bovine cow produce an offspring with a goat? The answer is no. Or let me say, the answer is not yet. But do you think it's possible that they can mingle the species of bovines and goats? Oh, yeah. I'm surprised that the internet is not full of pictures of bovines mingled with goats, that are mingled with alligators, that are mingled with camels, that are mingled with this and mingled with that. I mean, they're doing it on a limited scale. They're taking bovine cattle, and they are altering its genetic structure so that it carries human gene traits in it, so that the milk that is produced is accepted by those who are not tolerate lactose of any kind, lactose intolerant. That's being done. Genetic modifications to pigs, injecting them with certain human genetic characteristics so that organ transplant can take place between pigs and humans, the humans getting the pig organs, and those organs are not rejected because those pig organs happen to be somewhat human. So while God gave the law to the Israelites and the necktites. When God gave the law to the Israelites, oh, come on, laugh it up a little bit, all right? God gave the law to the Israelites, and he told them, don't let your cattle gender with a diverse kind, and they were going, why we got to have a law about that? God knew. God knew not to mingle the cattle with anything of a diverse species, diverse kind. And while it may not have been possible 4,000 years ago for a bovine cow and a goat to make a little calf goat baby, we now know we are not, listen, we're not looking to get into the world of genetic modification. We're already living in the world of genetic modification, mingled seed. We're already in it. We're living in it right now. There's a spirit that guides this, that governed this. It's Baphomet. It is that spirit. It is an evil. And somebody said, oh, Baphomet's not in the Bible, Pastor Mike. It is. Let me, where was that? Deuteronomy 4. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here little and there little. And let's see here. Was it Deuteronomy 4? There was a whole list of things that God told him not to worship. Yeah, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 14. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no matter of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Baphomet is male and female, both. The likeness of any beast, Baphomet has a beast appearance. The likeness of any winged fowl, Baphomet has wings. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, he's got a thing that creeps. I'm not going to tell you what it is. The likeness of any fish, his belly is full of fish scales. Lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars. He has got a star on his forehead. The sun and the moon are in the background. Everything about Baphomet is right here in Deuteronomy 4. And God said, don't worship that. Baphomet is a conglomeration of all things that God said don't have anything to do with. But Baphomet is a mingled spirit. And there is a pervasive spirit now on this earth that for years has been, or let's say, it found fertile ground in the churches. Found very fertile ground in the churches. Why? Because people were no longer excited or thrilled, or they no longer received anything from the Word of God. And I was trying to get to Revelation 5, and I got sidetracked. Chasing rabbits, which just seems like some fun to do today. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Nobody can open that book until verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He and he alone, Jesus alone, is the only one who can open the book. He can open it, and no man can shut it. Hopefully, that is you. Hopefully, that's you. Hopefully, God has come to you. Jesus has come to you. He has opened up his book to you, and you're reading it, and you're just going, this is the greatest thing that I've ever had in my life. I have the Word of God, and there isn't anybody that can close that book on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody can. God has opened that book to you, and every time you read it, you could read something a year ago and come back to it and never saw it before. I ministered down at Liberty Faith Church, and I can tell you, for the most part, those people read their Bible and they love it. I didn't go down there with a Strong's Concordance. I didn't go down there with a big secretary telling you what Dr. So-and-so said. I didn't go down there telling them anything like that. I just went from Bible verse to Bible. Reg wanted me to preach on the Giants. He called me and said he's doing a study on the life of David, and he's going to get into 1 Samuel 17 and David's encounter with Goliath. And Pastor Kelly had a copy of a book that we have on the giant. What it is, it's a Watchman Companion. And if you would like a copy of the Giants book, we can get that to you. Just call or write our office. Books are more expensive to deal with than the DVDs are. And so, again, we don't sell anything, but would you consider, please, a donation of any amount, all right? But anyway, he was reading that book, and I laid the case out, line upon line, precept upon precept, about why I thought the Giants were the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. I can show you that today with the time that we have. But he called me and he said, "Why don't you come down and preach to us on the Giants? Just kind of give this information out." Pastor, I'll do anything you ask. I'll do anything in the world for you. You know that. And so we went down and ministered there. And I'm telling you, these people, they follow me line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And what God did was Jesus himself came. And to many of those people, he opened up the book to them. And they were just going, "That is amazing." And I can tell you, people, I'm not proud that Jesus has opened up his book to me. I'm humbled. Because I had no, there was something in me that deserved it. I can tell you that. And Jesus has opened the book to me, and no man can close it. Likewise. And this is what Charlie, who went to the Lectio Divina pastor, this Charlie, this is what you found out. Apparently, God has closed the book on that pastor. Jesus closed the book, and not even you were able to open it. See how it works? Jesus said, "I am he that openeth, and no man closeth, and I am he that closeth, and no man openeth." There are people who listen to me. Everything that I do, they watch PMO, they watch the Watchman broadcast, they'll watch the church services. And you know what they're doing? They're waiting for me to say something so they can pounce on me, so they can call here and harass my daughters, so they can go online posing as me or somebody else, ridiculing me, accusing me. And because they hear everything that I say, they don't receive a word of it. You know what's happened? Jesus has closed the book on those people. And they're not going to get anything from God. Nothing. Folks, that's scary. It's scary to think that even though God's word is so powerful, if Jesus closes the book on somebody's life, nobody has the power to open it back up. And that's what's happened. That's what's happened with Prince Joseph here, and with the Lectio Divina pastor, and with the pastor who, instead of spending time laboring in the Word of God, he's writing Hooter girls on Facebook, telling them how beautiful he thinks they are. And then he's preaching the bookstore books on Sunday night and Wednesday night instead of the Word of God. What's happened is Jesus may very well be in the process of closing the book on yet another pastor. Woe be to us should Jesus ever decide to close the book. Back to Leviticus 19. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Now, we know, and that's Leviticus 19. We know that Jesus, Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke mentions it, the parable of the seed and the sower, we know that the seed is the word. That's because that's what Jesus said. Peter said that word was incorruptible. In fact, you and I were born again of incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I was asking God something the other day concerning DNA. And I wanted to know, there is a, you know, I talk about the RNA polymerase mechanism that reads your genes, that reads your DNA, and then when it gets to a certain thing that your body, it starts reading the DNA, make a transcript of it. A machine will take that transcript and start building the proteins, putting them together, and then folding them in the right way so that that protein that you need in your body is produced. The question came up in my mind is, how does the RNA polymerase, which reads, you know, and scans all 3 billion base pair connections, letters of the genetic code, how does the RNA polymerase know what to go look for? How does it know what your body needs? You know what the answer that I found on the internet was? It's in the DNA knows. The DNA knows what proteins to make, and then it makes the proteins, or it makes other strands of DNA. The bottom line is the DNA just knows what to make. And I'm just going, some people would go, well, that's not answering the question. I'm going, oh, yeah, it is. How is it that I get up and preach sometime and say, I have no idea why I'm preaching this. This is probably going to be the worst message in the world. Here's what God told me to do. And I preach something, and you wrote me in tears saying, Pastor, you have no idea what's been going on in my life. And when God told you to preach that message, I know for a fact he had me in his mind, and you preached right to me. Thank you for that. I don't even know these people. How did that happen? How does that work? How does your body know? How does the RNA polymerase know what to make? Because it doesn't scan DNA and make everything in the DNA all at once. It doesn't do that. It just makes what the body needs. How does it know? Well, it's DNA. It just knows. That's because the Word of God is quick. You know what that word means? It's alive. It's powerful. Whether it's the King James Bible or whether it's the DNA in your body, that DNA knows because it's the Word of God and it's alive. How does God talk to us? Through the Bible? Okay? It's alive, people. And one church after another is sick and tired of this Bible stuff. They've gotten bored with it, that it doesn't mean anything to them anymore. So they rejected it. You guys accepted it, and I knew you would. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I told the people, that because I gave them what I think is the proof that the sons of God and the daughters of men cohabitated. They married one another. And I'll show you what I showed him here in a little bit, okay? But I went through line upon line, scripture upon scripture, precept upon precept, and I said, now, if you still disagree with me and you want to study this out on your own, and if you go home tonight and read your Bible, I won. Because all I wanted was for people to go home and open up the Word of God and read it. That's all I wanted. And if they do that, I accomplish what I went down there for. Okay? But it was just, let me show you some things that I put together down there. Hang on. You know what? No, let me do this first. I've got to do this. Take your Bible and turn to Daniel 2. And you know what's in Daniel 2. Let's see. And then I want you to turn to the book of Ezra. That's where we're going to go. Daniel chapter 2 and the book of Ezra. And some of you may already be going, okay, Pastor, I mean, we've known that for years. What's the big deal? Hey, amen. But it just, I don't know, it just kind of stuck out in my mind today. It just kind of jumped out there, and I'm just going, okay, I get it now. I get it. Daniel chapter 2, we know that is the the revelation concerning the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And the verse in question, I use this a lot, whereas, is verse 43, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with miry clay. Now, we know, I don't have my DNA in here. We know that from the Bible, the fourth kingdom is principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what the fourth kingdom is. It is a kingdom that is not of this world. It is not an Eastern bloc of nations. It's not Russia. It's not China. It's not South America. It's definitely not the Canadians. Okay? It's not any of those. It is a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of spirits that is going to invade this planet, and their goal is to mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, again, we know, we get it. We live in the age of DNA. We know what seed is. We know that whether it's a corn or an apple seed or a banana seed, yes, bananas have seeds, or whatever seed it is, we know that if it's a seed, it is a bundle of DNA. And that DNA determines then what that plant and what its fruit is going to look like. Same thing with humans. We know that men and women have seed. When it says the seed of men, it's not just saying male seed. It's implying, because women in the Bible are attributed to, it's like mankind. And even the word kind is there. Man is a kind, monkey is a kind, alligator is a kind, and so on. Mankind has seed. Whether it's the woman in her egg or the man, people have seed. We have DNA. And when we make children, men, 23 chromosomes worth. Women contribute 23 chromosomes worth. And that child that is born is the recipient of both the man and the woman. Now, here's, again, this is what I saw. In Ezra, chapter 9. You remember Ezra, Nehemiah are written after the Israelites from Judah and probably Benjamin were taken into Babylonian captivity, but after 70 years, God did exactly what he promised he would do, is that he let them come back. And when they come back, Ezra is reading to them the word of God. And some of these people are going, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Because when Israel was at their very worst, in Deuteronomy 7, there was God telling them, now, Israel, when you go into the land that I shall give thee, thou shalt cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, and thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt thou take unto thy son. In verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's you. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. That's why he chose. By the way, white people, he didn't choose you because you were white. Black people, he did not choose you because you were black. He chose you because he loved you. And he told the Israelites, see, the Canaan land was full of giants mingled. They were already mingled species. And God said, when you go into that land, destroy them all. Don't let your kids marry their daughters. Don't let your daughters marry their boys. Don't do it. And so we get to the book of Ezra. We find out in verse 1 in chapter 9, "And when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands." Now think about it. And I'm going to use as generic terms as I can, but when a man loves a woman, right? And he mingles his seed, a child then is born. And that child is whoever that mother is and whoever that father is. That's who that child is going to be. Now think about it. In Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God mingled themselves into the seed of man by way of marrying the daughters of men. What was the result? Hybrids, giants, mighty men of old, men of renown. Is that going to happen again? According to the Bible, when they mingle themselves with the seed of men, offspring are going to be produced. Or maybe the whole world would produce one child. Man of sin, son of perdition. Okay? Just throwing some thoughts out here to you. Let me, in the moments we have remaining, let me just share with you my idea concerning the giants, the gigantes. Okay? Let's see here. Let me go here. Okay? Watch this. Isn't that a cute little piggy? I'm going to give you a DNA test here. I'm going to ask you a question. Does the object on the screen have DNA? I'll give you a moment. Do, 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 do. Yes, this object has DNA. He is a pig. Pigs have DNA. Next object. Does this object have DNA? Yes, it has DNA. Next object. Does this object have DNA? No, no DNA. It's gold. It's not alive. Can't eat it. Next object. Ford truck. Well, some of you are going, mine does. Okay. Yeah. Nope, doesn't have DNA. That has DNA. It has seed. It has DNA. It has a helix-based base pairs that join together that determine the makeup of this tree. It has DNA. DNA is the book that made that tree. That, does a rock have DNA? No. No DNA in the rock. The little guy standing next to it, yes, he has DNA, but the rock doesn't. John Wayne! Does John Wayne have DNA? The answer is yes, John Wayne has DNA. Here we go. Does an angel have DNA? Angels are spirits. Does a spiritual form, does a spirit being have seed? 1 Corinthians 15, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest does not quicken, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance it." Now look at this. Grain produces the body. If it has a body, it came from seed. He made chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. If it has a body, it was seed that produced that body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Look at this, celestial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. 1 Corinthians 15:44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And some people, they just insist that spirits do not have bodies. That is true. It's not true. According to the Bible, spirits have bodies. When you and I die, we are going to be resurrected, and we will have the new spirit body. Where did that body come from? It came from spiritual, incorruptible seed. Think about it. When we die, we're raised on the resurrection day with a new spiritual body, right? It has a form. We don't know what it's going to look like. It's going to look like Christ, though, and we shall see him as he is. But the thing is, where did that body come from? What was its source? Its source was the seed of the Word of God that God put into your heart. Your new body. God didn't just create it out of nothing. He had a seed that made it. And so you go back here. There are celestial bodies, spiritual bodies, and there are terrestrial bodies. But if it has a body, it had seed that made it. You see what I'm saying? Okay? That's what I taught down at Norwood. Was the idea that everybody says, oh, angels, they didn't do that. Angels have no bodies. They just kind of like Casper, the friendly ghost. That's what people think. And that's not what spirits are according to the Bible. That's not what angels are according to the Bible. When Ezekiel saw the throne of God, he saw bodies. When John saw the throne of God, he saw bodies. When Abraham entertained three men, one of them was Christ, two of them, the other two were angels. He washed their feet. They sat down. He offered them food. You know what they did? They ate it. The same thing with them. Washed their feet, had them lay down, feed them food. The men of Sodom knew they were real. They had bodies. And that body came from seed. And the serpent, according to Genesis 3, he has his offspring, his seed. What happens when you mingle angels, fallen evil angels, with human beings into their DNA? Their offspring are going to be God's people. That's what's coming to this earth. Okay? You believe the Bible? Amen. The videos from the conference that we had at Brother Reg's, we're going to start making them available this Sunday. Be watching for the uploads. You pray for us. I'll see you in church Sunday morning. We're going to be streaming it around the world live on Facebook. Pray for our ministries in Kenya. Support us if you can, if you are considering year-end giving. Okay? You pray about whether to send that here or not. All right? I'm not going to tell you what to do with it. I'll let that decision be between you and the Lord. All right? God bless you. We love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. Think Bible.